The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
So I believe God's going to speak to all of us. And what I'm going to talk about this morning, we've all done this. Even little kids. We've all bargained with God at one time or another. That's why I call this sermon or message Jack and the Bean Bargain. Because Jack and the Beanstalk, we know the story, right? Mom told him to go sell the beans, the cow, to get some food so they can buy some food. And the little boy didn't quite follow what Mama said, huh? Another man tricked him and just gave him some magic beans. Didn't quite turn out. Amen? So let's pray before we get into God's word. Father God, we thank you. And we love you, Lord, for the great things you're going to do this morning. God, some of us are facing some heavy trials, some heavy situations. God, right now we're just going through it, God. It seems like the tempest just blows and hits our house, hits our lives, hits our bodies, God. But Lord, we trust you and we love you. We pray that you can speak life into us this morning, God, that your Holy Spirit just comes and fills this place and permeates our minds, our hearts, and our thoughts. God, I pray that you would speak to the little ones down to the adults. God, speak to our hearts. Just speak to us clearly and with clarity. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place this morning right now in Jesus' name. And God's people says, amen. Amen. If you're not awake now, then like Jerry says, you're probably dead. See, God's presence is wherever people gathers. God's presence is where there's good people and bad people. It doesn't matter. God is there. If you're a bad little kid sometimes, guess what? God is there. But he's there showing love. God is there trying to correct us and help us. Amen? So this morning, we're not going to talk about Jack and the Bean Bargain, which he did a bad deal. He didn't listen to his mama. How many little kids don't listen to your mama sometimes? Some of you teenagers think you know more than mama and daddy. Sometimes you're wrong. See, us as parents, as adults, we've been there. We're trying to tell you what's good and not to possibly make some of the mistakes we might have made. You have to listen to your parents, little ones. Don't go lying and cheating. You need to listen to your parents, okay? And adults, we need to listen to what God says and be an example to our little ones. I love this topic because we're nailing it right to the family, right at home, right where it hurts, right where we don't want to talk about what happens in our home. Oh no, our home is perfect. We just read the topic. Not every story tale ends up well. And difficulties are a part of our growth, folks, to make us to be stronger people and trust. That's what it's all about. If you're here this morning and you're a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ and a true follower of God, don't expect to have a bed of roses. We live in a tough world, in a tough environment, in a tough community, in a tough government system that's coming against God. But we can still have peace in the middle of the storm. We can still serve God and teach our little ones how to serve God. Amen? So this morning, Jack made a bargain for magic beans and didn't turn out well. Jephthah, we're going to read out of Judges chapter 11. Jephthah, Judges chapter 11, verse 29 through 33 reads like this. Then the Lord's Spirit came over Jephthah. Jephthah went through Gilead, Manasseh, and Mizpah in Gilead to gather an army. From Mizpah and Gilead, Jephthah went to attack Ammon. Jephthah made a vow to the Lord. He said, if you will really hand me Ammon over to me, then whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return safely from Ammon will belong to the Lord. I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering to you. So Jephthah went to fight against Ammon. The Lord handed the people over of Ammon to him. He defeated them from Aroer to Minnith and on to Abel Keramim, cities and all. It was a decisive defeat. So the Ammonites were crushed by the people of Israel. This is the story of Jephthah, how we read clearly there where he made a deal with God, a bargain, so to speak. He said it clearly, if you hand me over these battles, I will sacrifice whoever comes out of my doors when I return home. And that's what I want to talk about. See, Jephthah made a bargain possibly for power or position. For power. But it turned out tragic for him. And sometimes as people, we bargain with God. Oh God, if you give me this, I will do that. Right? We bargain. Jephthah was bargaining. And it reminds me of Adam in the garden. He possibly bargained with God. This is my theory of the garden. I picture Adam right there. He's starting to look bored, frustrated. God shows up. Adam, what's wrong? Well, God, you know what? This is great. The trees, the water, the stars, the animals. This is awesome. This is great, but you know what? I'm bored. Something's missing. God says, "My, wow, really? Well, let me go work on that." God comes back. He says, "Adam, I got the perfect deal for you." Adam goes, yeah, what is that? He goes, "I'm going to make woman for you." Adam goes, "What's woman?" He goes, "Well, let me tell you. Woman is sweet, beautiful, and perfect, and good, and loving all the time." "Wow," Adam goes, "that sounds good. When does she arrive?" God goes, "Well, you know what? Like all things, everything comes with a price. And while this woman, beautiful, nice, loving, and caring, will sew for you, cook for you, have children for you, make a home for you." Adam's like, "Well, I'll take it." "Well, you got to make a deal here. It's not going to be easy. It's going to cost you." Adam goes, "Anything. What's it going to cost me?" God goes, "Well, for this sweet, loving, beautiful, caring woman, it's going to cost you an arm, an eye, and a leg." Adam's like, "Whoa. Let me think about that." Thinks a few seconds, and Adam comes back. "You know what, God? Let's make a bargain here. This sweet, loving, and caring woman is going to cost me an eye, an arm, and a leg, right?" God goes, "Yeah, that's right." So Adam leans in. He goes, "God, what do I get for a rib?" That's what we get, guys. That's my theory of the garden. See, sometimes we'll make bargains with God and we're not really putting thought into it, looking forward into it, looking at the scenario of what could be. Most importantly, we're not praying about it. Sometimes we want things now. Amen? And Jephthah, I'll give you a summary of Jephthah's upbringing. Jephthah was the son of Gilead. In the book of Judges, Gilead was his dad's name and the city was Gilead. Because his dad ran it, powerful soldier, leader of Israel. And Jephthah grew up, but Jephthah was born, if you read the whole book of Judges, chapter 11, he was born of another woman, it says. So Jephthah's daddy had another woman. And he was born of that woman. And then Gilead, Jephthah's father, has a wife, and he had more kids. And the brothers grew up and kind of kicked Jephthah to the curb. They said, "You're not going to get nothing, Dad leaves us. You're not from our lineage." So they kicked him out of the house. He takes off, becomes this great warrior, like a motley crew leader, a renegade, a road warrior, whatever you want to call this guy. Just a tough, mean guy out there. He developed a motley crew, if I may say. Another group of men that followed him. And he was a great leader, but he was pretty rough. And then Israel goes to fight the Ammonites, as we read, and they're losing. And guess what? Jephthah's brothers say, "Hey, let's go get Jephthah, man. That's a bad dude. He'll take care of all these cities, man. The Canaanites, the Ammonites, and all the ites that are out there." So they go and hit him up. "Hey, Jephthah, we know we kicked you to the curb, but can you come help us out? We heard a lot of good things about you." And Jephthah goes, "Oh, now you want me back, huh? Now you need my help." But in the back of his mind, Jephthah was saying, "This is my chance. I can go back, lead Israel, and all people will listen to me. I will be the leader." And that's his upbringing, which brings us up to this text in chapter 11. He was making this vow for God. But Jephthah makes a very foolish bargain. Very foolish bargain. And like I said earlier, maybe he wanted to get even with some of his brothers or own family members because they kicked him to the curb. We need to be careful when we bargain with God. And if you are bargaining with God, I'm not saying it's unbiblical, but follow through. Keep your word. I think I put up a power slide. I wrote some thoughts that I think we could probably have quoted. I put one like this. I put, God, I will promise I'll stop this inappropriate behavior. Don't let anyone find out. Another one could be, God, please don't let me go to jail. I won't do that again. We've been there. God, heal me of this and I will live a better life. Another one. God, please don't let my spouse leave me. I will never cheat or lie to her again or him. And the last one I thought of. God, give me this job and I'll be in church every Sunday. And I had to throw that last one in because a lot of people tell me that. I used to say it. First of all, you can't be in church every Sunday. Sometimes events come up where you're sick, your car doesn't start, whatever, justified reasons. You can't be in church every Sunday. You can be at church 90% of the time, but not every Sunday. So we need to be careful how we bargain with God. And all these, God, I promise I'll do this, do that, that I put up, those were all me. Those were all me before Christ. God, heal me of these drugs. I want to quit. The next day I'd be right there. Let me tell you something. One time I was so high, laying in bed, my heart was going crazy. I thought I was going to die. My little brother was there that used with me. And are you okay? And there's other people there are scared. I'm turning yellow. I thought I was, that was it. Oh, and something came over me. I felt better. Guess what's the very next thing I did when I got out of the bed? Hit it again. I'm right there bargaining with God. Don't take me, God. Please. I won't do this kind of drugs no more. The very same moment. Again. And we do that as people. We tell our parents, kids, oh yes, mommy, daddy, I'll behave. No, you don't. Follow through and maybe mommy or daddy will give you what you want or like. You listen to your parents, maybe it'll be a little smoother, kids. It'll go better. But if you don't listen to your parents, young ones, it's going to be rough. You're going to be in timeout. You're going to be locked in your room for a couple of days or a day and maybe not get dinner. Yeah, they'll take your gadgets away, your phone, your privileges, kids, because your parents work hard for those things for you to have them. They're not your gifts, they're privileges your parents got for you. So they have every right as parents to take that from you for a little while because you're not listening to your parents. See, I was a young child growing up, and when I stopped listening to my parents, I went to live my own life, and that's when it got rough. I didn't give up. I was proudful. I went through a lot of stuff, did a lot of bad things, but I will not bend down to my parents or listen to them, let alone they saw me all messed up on drugs and partying and alcohol, violence and jail and you name it. But the glory of God came one day to me, and he saved me. And then I started reading in here to listen to my parents. Before my dad passed away, because he passed away some years ago, my mom still lives, God gave me the opportunity to go love on them and tell them I'm sorry. And to this date, I still apologize and hug on my mom and love her and show her the love that she didn't get from her son at one time. Kids, if you disown your parents now, it's going to be harder when you're older. God's going to convict you of it. Do it right now. Do it while you can. And here Jephthah makes this bargain, a selfish one, a foolish one. So we need to be careful. And we utter such prayers like this. And why do we utter these prayers like this? They're almost like New Year's resolutions. How many did a New Year's resolution this January? And how did that go for you? Are you still doing it? Probably not, huh? I said I was going to stop a few things and it took me a couple of months and I fell right back. Watching novelas or whatever. We do it like a New Year's resolution for God. God doesn't work in that area. He listens. He listened to Jephthah. Okay, you sure you want this? Are you sure about what you're saying, Jephthah? Are you sure, folks, you're going to keep your word with God? I call these foxhole prayers. Foxhole bargains with God. Why a foxhole? Most of you know when you're in war, the armies are fighting each other in up close combat, like from here to that wall. What do most soldiers do when it gets hard or the heavy hitting comes? They dig a little hole and hide in there. Okay, they're gone now. Let's go. That's how our prayers are like. We hide for a little bit and think God's going to handle it and God's got this, and we thank him and then we move on right back to the old way. Right back to the things we shouldn't be doing. Right back to going against what you told God you would do, that bargain you made. I'm guilty of that in my past. And what has made me a godly man was to just keep following through. Like it or not. You see? Sometimes I didn't want to listen to my parents, but I did. Because they had the right answer, because they had lived it before. They were trying to tell me what to do, and I thought they were wrong. That's why I lived so bad. I was a mean guy. And all I got now is love to give. Profess Jesus. Tell men that your marriage can work. Tell men to get their pride out of the way and move forward in love. And women, married women, tell them to hang in there and then hope their husband would change and respect their man no matter what. If he can't be loved, you love him through the eyes of Christ, women. You made the choice when you fell in love. And now we want to run. Today's world, man, annulments. Oh, I didn't quite like him a month later. Gosh, what is that? God doesn't work in that area either. You need to pray. Pray together as a couple. Keep your resolutions, if you're going to call them that. Don't do foxhole prayers. And my question is this. Why don't we do right before the crisis or the situation arises? Why don't we listen to mommy or daddy before the problem occurs? And your friends are telling you right there, come on, just do it. And no one's going to know. They're going to know. God has seen everything. I've been pulled over. Oh, God, I promise I won't speed again. $200-$300 ticket. God says, I'm sorry, buddy. You broke the law. I gave you a few other chances. You ran a few stop signs, and I didn't do anything then. I'm confessing here. Come on now. Somebody amen with me. He's let you off a few times. How about those times you're kind of frustrated, long day, and you need something? Well, most of us shop at Walmart, I do. And you want to get in that front parking, you just want to get in, and there's a car's moving right in front. God did that for you. You don't believe that, it's true. But yet, we break the law, and we're, oh God, I will never do this again. Please, mommy and daddy, don't let mom and daddy spank me. Please, I will never break the window again. Yeah, you will. Do it before you're in trouble. Do the right thing before the crisis arises. Think the right method before the situation comes. Because we know, little kids know what's right. For Jesus said, even the little ones understand this. And I've said it last time, even when these men were preaching in synagogues, there was little kids there. When Jesus would go out and preach to the community, the crowds would bundle up in front of him. There was little kids and little boys and little girls and teenagers listening to Jesus. It's not just for adults. This word is for everyone. All ages. And I'm going to keep encouraging you little kids. Listen to your parents. Please. God begs you and so do I. Don't listen to those friends that want to make you do the wrong thing. Just say, you know what, I can't do this. Mom and dad says this is not good. My mom said no. And if they make fun of you, so what? You go tell your mom what's going on and they'll comfort you. You won't have problems. And see, the Bible had some people that bargained with God as well. Abraham bargains with God to save Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 18. You know the story. God, if there's 50 people, don't wipe it out. God, if there's 40 people. God, if there's 10. And God said no. Folks, let me hopefully surprise you. God will say no sometimes to our bargains, to our prayers. Because sometimes it's not good for us. It's not the time yet for that prayer to be answered. I lived 22 years in the dark life, in the world, doing all the things I shouldn't have been doing. And God gave me that time frame to experience that life. So now that he's brought me to Jesus, I can testify and give him glory. That's how it works. And I've kept my word. Have I been perfect all these 17 years as a follower of God? No. I have fallen, yes, several times. But I have asked for forgiveness and moved forward. Was my prior marriages in shambles before my prior wife passed away? Yeah, we had counseling. Yeah, we fought. Yeah, I left the house a few times, but we came back to God. And both of us made a 100% pact deal before the pastor and said, now we're going to work on it for reals. Because a lot of you say, yeah, pastor, we're going to, yeah, pastor, we're going to. You go right back fighting to the car. Why did you tell him that? We were supposed to tell him that. Yes, you were supposed to tell the pastor that or whoever you're counseling with. That's what sets you free. Jesus says, if you confess your sins, you will set free and he forgives you. Jesus already forgave us. Forgive yourself and forgive that person and move on. Amen. God is speaking to a lot of people this morning because he spoke to me on this. He reminded me of my past. It wasn't pretty and I'm not proud of it, but he has moved me forward. He has taught me not to bargain. He is teaching me to trust. You need to trust, not bargain. Jacob bargains with God in Genesis 32. This is not on my PowerPoints. I just thought I'd throw them in there. Remember the story of Jacob? He wrestled with God all night. Nope, I'm not letting you go. Nope, I'm not letting you go. And they fought till the sun came up. And all the angel did was touch his hip. And Jacob came out like this. Yeah, I got him. I got him good. I got it my way. Sure you did. Look how you walk now, bro. But he gave him a new life, a new future, and a new name. How about barren Hannah? Hannah was a godly woman. Praised God and lived for God. And she always wanted a baby. And she prayed and begged God. And God heard her one day. Okay, you want a son, but you're going to have to give him to me, dedicate him to me. That was Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. He was a mighty prophet. She had to give him to God. See? Sometimes, folks, in your life, you need to give some things up. That's what God wants. Just let it go. Oh, it's going to hurt. Of course it's going to hurt. You think it hurt Jesus to carry that cross? You think it hurt Jesus when he got whooped for us to be here right now and free in Christ? Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for all of us in this room if you are a believer of Jesus. He died for you and for me so we can profess about what he's done for us. He didn't bargain. Jesus says, your will be done. Father, I don't want to drink this cup. I know I got to go get that cross. I'm going to get whooped, spit on, kicked, and then killed. What if you knew that was coming? Would you still follow through? Or would you be in your foxhole? Life is going to be tough sometimes, folks. But Paul said, count it all joy. And I'm glad I said joy. Because I've been studying the subject of happiness and joy. I do odd studies off my sermon studies. And I share them with my wife. You know what I've learned about how happy trails or fairy tales end up bad? Well, this is the problem we have as humans that we haven't grasped yet. There's a difference between happy and joy. And I'll explain. Happiness has to do with your affections, your feelings, and your emotions. I'm not happy no more. Why, God? Oh, I don't believe this is happening to me. Because happiness has to do with the physical. Joy is in the Bible gazillion times. If you truly have the joy of the Lord, it doesn't affect your emotions, your affections, or what they think about you, because it's the joy in your soul. It's your soul. If your soul learns to be joyful in the Lord through the bad, that imagine the happy days. If you can smile through the tough times sometimes, imagine the good times. He'll bring you to his mountaintop experiences, folks, and you could almost, like you're floating. I've been married almost a year, and I've been cloud nine. And not only because I'm married, but because God is doing great things through me and Olivia. He's using us for other people, other situations, and we're learning to be one. We're growing this sweet potato. She put it in a bowl, and it took off. It's like this Jack and the Beanstalk. I told her one day I'm going to show up with a machete. Hey, honey, I'm home. Where are you? It's just growing. And you know what I love to see yesterday, and it did it more today? The branches are like vines, and they're twisting together. I didn't tell her this, but those that are twisted together, that's me and her. Amen? And there's other ones also twisting together. That should be you, your partner, and Jesus. He is the third strand, strength, and power in your relationship. And if you include Jesus, things are going to happen. Things will change. Your attitude will change. Your character will change. Your language will change. Versus, honey, I'm home. Why ain't dinner ready? Gosh, look at this house. Looks a mess. Look at the kitchen. Versus, hi, honey, I'm home. I love you. Had a great day. How was yours? Here, let me help you. Let me get my work clothes off, and I'm going to join you right now. I'll help you get all this going because I'm hungry. There's a difference. I have the joy of God, and I want to just permeate the joy to her and her back to me, which she does. That's what it takes, joy. You can be happy, and sometimes you'll be sad, but you need joy. Nothing can steal your joy. You steal your own joy and kick it out. Amen? That's the difference. So here we start. I had a movie clip. We couldn't get it on there. It's called, the movie's called The End. It's like a 1970 movie. It's an old movie with Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise and Burt Reynolds through the whole movie. I didn't see the movie. I just found the clip. We couldn't get it on there real quick. And he's in the ocean. Burt Reynolds is trying to swim to the shore, and he's like a mile out. The camera's way out here, and he's talking with God. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I don't want to drown. I'm sorry. I wanted to kill myself. If you let me live, God, I'm going to give 100% of my check. I'll give you all of my check, God, if you save me. And he's getting closer. And God, yes, if you save me, I'll give you 10% of my check, God. And yeah, I promise I'll give you 10%. And he's getting out of the shore, and he goes, yes, God. Well, thank you for helping me, God. And now that you help me, I'll probably give to the church, and I might go to church today. We start changing our bargain, man. It was a great clip. It's too bad I couldn't put it up there, but it fit right in. I just thought I'd give you the visual verbally. So in verse 29, it starts with God's spirit coming on Jephthah to make his bargain to become this great conqueror, leader. What my first question was on that verse 29, that's why I picked this text. It says, God's spirit came on Jephthah. I have a question for you, church. How can a motley crew man, a renegade, a man that probably wasn't following God, just being this vicious man out there in the world, conquering, killing, and doing whatever he did, the spirit of God came on him? How? I said it in the beginning, God's spirit will dwell on anyone, and he hears everyone. It brings to memory the text where he says, God says, I'll bless the righteous and the unrighteous. I'll let it rain on those that don't deserve it and those that deserve it. God will listen to everyone. And he said, okay, Jephthah, I got you. I heard you. You want to be a leader? I'll grant you what you want. But God was trying to tell him, are you sure what you're saying? Are you sure this is what you want? Think of a Pharaoh when he would not let the people go. Moses came 10 times and plagues came because Pharaoh's heart was hard. Guess who made Pharaoh's heart hard? God does. Some of you, when you're stubborn, you're doing things your way, God's letting you and he's allowing you. He lets your heart get hard like a rock because he's God. And he says, when you're ready, I'm ready. Until you're ready to soften your heart and quit bargaining and start trusting, God will work with you. Because we all can have hard hearts sometimes, kids. Oh, I hate when my mom makes me throw the trash. Ah, my dad made me cut the grass. I don't want to cut it. We do that. Oh, my mom and dad, I was going to go to this party tonight. They didn't let me go. I lied to them. Good, you lied. They're being godly parents. What if your parents always let you do what you wanted when you messed up? What will you learn, kids? You learn to be some pretty not nice people and lie when you grow up. Lie to your bosses, lie to your friends. Lying is not good. And cheating either. Listen to your parents. Listen to what God says. So my first point is this. The bargain Jephthah made was wrong. Jephthah's bargain was wrong. He bargained the wrong way. Why do I say that? Because he bargained on his own terms. Look what it says in verse 31. We'll read it. Then whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return safely from Ammon, will belong to the Lord. I will sacrifice a burnt offering. I read text and I question it. Who made him God and king and said, what's going to come out of his house? He made the terms. God didn't say, tell me whatever comes out of your house, you'll sacrifice it. God did not say a word. And he made it on his own terms. He verbalized how he wanted it to be. The bargain was in his way. God didn't say anything about any doors opening or who's coming out. That was the first wrong thing he did. And God would say, are you sure what you're asking? This morning, do you know and are you sure what you're asking of God? The second motive it was wrong was this. Biblically violated God's law. This man forgot about God's word because he went and became a renegade. Remember? Look at Leviticus 18:21. This is after Judges. God laid down some laws and rules to follow because humans were getting wild and evil and crazy. Look at Leviticus 18:21 says this. Never give your children as sacrifices to God, the God Molech, by burning them alive. If you do, you are dishonoring the name of your God. I am the Lord. If we do things against God, we will have problems. See, back then, little kids, you are so lucky, little ones. All you little ones, I'm going to try and find you all you little kids and teenagers. You want to know why you're so lucky? Because back then, the little kids that didn't listen or the parents needed something, they would put you on a statue made of iron and they would burn you alive. Little babies. The parents would do that. Parents really didn't care or they had a need. And that's what these tribes did, the Canaanites and the Ammonites. That's why God wiped out all these Ammonites, Canaanites, all these Ites people in the Old Testament. People always tell me, God, Frank, if God is so good, why does he kill people? Innocent people, innocent people. You call that innocent? Slaughtering your own children? Killing just to kill? Remember in the garden when God came to Eve and said, now you're going to have kids. Some of them are going to be of my seed, God said. His people, and some are going to be of the other seed. Guess who the other seed is? Satan, the devil, the dark side, evil people. That's why in the Bible there's stories of wars, and God used Israel's army to kill these evil people, because if they didn't, that we'd be living like Hitler right now. Hitler would be global, because someone was going to take after Hitler and killing all the Jews and all the believers of Christ, and we all being like prisoners, sick, skinny, hungry, and smelly. So God brings in people of God to fight what's right for what's righteous. Kids in school, don't let the teachers tell you that God doesn't exist. You listen to them, but you come home and tell your mommy and your daddy what they said about God, and your mommy or daddy will correct you and help you. There is a God, and he has ways to follow, and you will be successful if you follow God. Man, give God glory. Folks, and I say that because I can say I wasn't a very successful man. I don't think of myself highly, but where he's placed me, man, where he's placed me here as a pastor, what a privilege to tell people about God and the things, all the wrong things I did, the job where he's placed me. I'm so blessed. Yeah, I work a lot of hours, but he gives me time to study. He gives me a little time with my wife, and he gives me time to pray with him alone. That's vital in our lives. That's what makes you successful. But if we come against God's word, you will have problems. We need to keep God's word and our words to him. Things will go wrong. And when they do, tell him. Why didn't Jephthah tell anything to God? He made a bad deal. He shouldn't have done that bargain. God hears us. He hears you. All our words are important to God. How about the marriage vows we took? How about the marriage vows you guys took, just like me? Before God and before everyone, to love and to respect. I'm guilty too. Not proud of it, but it's love and respect. Marriages today are in shambles, folks. And if you're going through it, come see us. Come see one of the pastors. Text us. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. And now some of you are kind of probably just a little ashamed, maybe don't want to confront it. Text us. Mr. Jeremiah, Mr. Jerry, Mr. Frank. You have to say Mr. Just Jeremiah, Jerry, Frank. Pray for my marriage. I'll guarantee you, I will pray, and I know they do too. Because we get them all week. We talk as pastors. We share. We need to. We're your pastors. And we want to see you grow in Christ and be successful. And understand what God says. For you to flourish as a godly person. And your marriage to be joyful. Not happy, joyful. Amen. What are our children learning from us at home? What are our children listening coming out of our mouths, even if you close the door behind you? My parents always left in the car to discuss their matters. I've said it before, and my sisters are here, and so is my niece. Me growing up, I've told you before, I never heard my dad yell at the top of his lungs at my mom or curse at her, ever. And yeah, he got drunk a few times. But he never disrespected her that I ever saw. So I grew up a pretty good kid, but when I started hanging around with those wrong friends, that's when I went south. Because I wanted to do what they were doing and not listening to my parents. I took that chance. I took that bargain. You know what? I don't care what my parents have said. I'm going to live this way. And I have kids out there I don't get to see. They've grown up. They moved away. I pray for them and I love them dearly. But they have feelings towards me. And I don't blame them because I wasn't there for them. But God's forgiven me and that's all I need to know. And that they're alive and they're okay and they're healthy. God will deal with the rest. I'm believing one day I will talk to them. Just like you. Talking. Share with them. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you don't quite grasp what the family unit should look like, write that one down. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Read it all tonight. Read it this week sometime. Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's a little segment on how you should teach your family, even yourself. We need to sit down with our family and read the Bible. We need to learn not to bargain but trust God. Folks, you need to sit down with your kid. Even if your little kid doesn't understand, read anyway. There's a couple that comes to our Bible study. They're sitting right back there. I'll keep the names anonymous. But you know who they are. They bring their beautiful daughter, Elka. And I'm teaching the Bible study. And she's talking and praying with me and interceding with words as well. And baby talk, of course. But she's there. And I told this couple, you know what? God is still speaking to that little child. This little girl, God's going to use her too. He's preparing you, all you little ones. That's why you're here. God chose you, little ones, young ones. You're not here because you decided to come to church this morning. God brought you here. And if you take what you're hearing at church and you use it, God will be with you. But if you're making other bargains, going other routes, it's going to be tough. So that was a bad bargain. It was wrong. The second one is that the bargain was a desperate one. Again, verse 31, whatever comes out of my doors, he said, whatever comes out of my door, really? What did he think? His dog was going to come out. Roo, 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 roo. I'm glad you're home. I'm glad you're home. I can kill the dog, no problem. Or a little mouse. He knew he had a daughter. I think he knew he had a daughter at home waiting. And she comes out all happy. Dad's home. Yay. Throwing a party. And you're probably sitting there saying, you know what, Frank? Well, that's a little way out there. I wouldn't sacrifice my children. Really? What are you teaching them? What are you exampling them? What's your example to them? Have you sacrificed them sometimes verbally? Unrighteously? I'm guilty. I've said this before. Before Christ, I raised two little girls that weren't mine. They're all grown up now. They're pretty successful, not great. They're doing okay. They're doing okay. But I was teaching them how to bring me a beer, how to bring me my lighter for my pipe, how to cuss, how to yell at your partner. But when we became Christians, it all turned the page in my home. The whole home environment changed. And my daughter, Daddy, why come we don't do that? It says right here, mija. Oh, okay. I showed them what the Bible says. So they became teenagers. And when they get in trouble, guess what I'd pull out? Well, I didn't tell you this story, huh? I'd pull out the belt or the Bible. And I set it on the kitchen table and then I'd sit them down. Or one at a time. Which one do you want? Oh, the Bible. And that's where I practiced my preaching. Till they were blue in the face. And I did what God wanted me to. I didn't force it on them, but when they crossed the line, I showed them what God's word said. They'd go to the room, and at times they'd go against it, and they scratched the car, they got a flat, they'd get in trouble because they were coming against the grain, against God's word. They weren't coming against me as a dad. They were coming against what God says. But don't get me wrong, folks. Don't hammer your kids with the Bible. Sit with them and read it. Let them see if they have questions. How humble their heart can be. You want me to tell you what a humble heart is? And it happened to me this morning. Jeremiah doesn't know, but Miss Debbie Vick does. I'm in the restroom getting ready for this morning. You guys are showing up. And their son walks in, Josiah. And he's drying his hands. Like, hey, Josiah, what's up? He goes, nothing, Frank. Hey, Frank, next time we have a movie, will you sit next with me? Oh. He always says things like that to me. I'm like, oh, why wasn't I that kind of kid? You know why? Because of parents. What's he learning at home? Godly love. Talking to Josiah is talking like almost an adult. He's smart. He knows how to respect and answer. And I'm sure he has his moments. With all respect, Vix. But he's a great kid. I've watched this kid grow up. In the past, he'd come and beat on my drums. And he'd get all, I didn't care. I charged him a little. It's not mine. But now he doesn't come near because he's learning. We learn. Godly parents. So he was desperate. He wanted to rule at whatever cost. God is saying, like, really, are you sure? Okay. And that's what he gave him. And guess what he had to do? He had to slaughter his daughter. I think she was already maybe in her 20s. She wasn't even a teenager anymore. He raised her. That's the only daughter he had. He had to do what he had to do. Have you guys seen the movie Unbroken? Anybody see the movie Unbroken? Yeah. Luis Zamperini. True story. This guy became a track star in high school. He wanted to be successful. Goes to the army because he was signed in, enlisted, whatever. Long story short, he ends up in the plane crashes in the ocean. You know the story. Remember the part in the ocean where they're almost drowning? When he uttered, God, if you save me from this, I will serve you the rest of my life. And he did. He died recently. I think last year, a couple of years ago, I can't remember. But he followed God faithfully after he made it through. But guess what? When these three Japanese torture camps he ended up at, he suffered for 2.5 years. And he never denounced following God. He never gave up. So sometimes you're going to make a bargain with God, but you're going to go through some stuff. But you got to follow through. He followed through. And God gave him many years more to live and to tell his story. Books were written. And then they made this movie. And it's all of God's testimony. He used this man so people can learn that you're going to go through some tough times. But God, if you're going to make a bargain with God, follow through and he will get you through it. I never thought I'd be delivered from the lifestyle I lived. There's a man here in this room that could vouch for that. A dear friend. He saw my old life. And when he saw me as a Christian, I always say this in the Bible study, he always says, gosh, I wanted to be like Frank, honey. I saw him. He's so different. He saw Jesus. Wasn't me. I made a bargain. God, I'm tired of this life. Save me. Change me. And boy, did he. He said, are you sure, Frank? I'm going to put you in front of people and you're going to talk for me. Sure, God, whatever it takes. You're going to have a rough marriage as a Christian man. People are going to talk about you. They're going to slam the door in your face. They're going to ridicule you. Yes, God, I'm ready. And I went through all kinds of stuff up to this point. It's all part of it, folks. It's all part of it. And then things go bad when we make a bargain. And we blame others and take it out on others. Look at verse 35. It says in verse 35 of Judges 11, when he saw her, his daughter, he tore his clothes in grief and said, oh no, daughter, you brought me to my knees. What disaster you brought me. I made a foolish promise to the Lord. Now I can't break it. How is it her fault? Do you see that? She didn't make the bargain. And he's blaming her. Oh my gosh, what did you do? What do you mean? This one perplexed me. Why? When you make a deal with God, when you verbalize something, you better stick to it. You should stick to it. Because that's what you vowed. And when you don't, things will come. And some are harder than others. Some hit harder than others. And we start playing the blame game. I did it too. I used to blame people for things I did. And I'll say this flippantly and loosely. When I was a drug addict, when I was lost, a drunkard, and I was at the worst, I would blame other people. Oh, there's nothing wrong with me. It's you guys. Leave me alone. What's wrong with you? I was all messed up. Blaming others. That's not right. But God can deliver. God's Spirit comes and he changes everything if you allow him. Don't be desperate. When you're desperate, call on God. We all get desperate sometimes. Totally understandable. When you're going to get that ticket, oh gosh, Lord, help me. And sometimes I say, like the Bible says, Lord, blind their eyes. One time I crossed the signal light at work. The boss told me, Frank, go, and I'm going to call you right now and take the delivery here. The farmer needed his stuff. I did exactly what my boss told me, and I'm crossing Ayton through that signal light, and there's a highway patrol sitting there and a car next to the highway patrol, and I'm on the phone. I looked at him. Whoops. So I kept going. And the highway patrol pulls me over, of course, right away, takes off, stops me. And you know what he says? He says, the only reason I stopped you, because the car next to me looked at me like this. Well, aren't you going to get him? Like he gave him a look. He said, I was looking the other way because I was praying, Lord, blind him. And I'm talking to the boss. He goes, Frank, what happened? Well, you called me at a bad time, first of all. Now I'm getting pulled over. What? No, put your phone away. The company took care of it, but it was still my ticket. But the company still helped me. But anyways, he had to stop me. And he wasn't. But that was fair. I broke the law. You don't listen to your mom and your daddy, you're going to be in trouble. You don't listen to God, you're going to have problems. Okay? And the third point and last, the bargain took prayer away. The bargain took prayer away. When things don't go our way, we quit, run, or give up. See, we'll make a bargain with God. God, Lord, please change him. He really needs your help, God. I am so holier than thou. I am so into you, God. Oh, be quiet, kids. I'm praying. And anyways, Lord, turn the TV down. And God, oh, I'm so full of love. No, you're not. Jesus said this. Take the tree trunk out of your eye before you can take the speck out of your partner's eye. God's the final judge. We are to love people, regardless, believer or not. The Bible clearly says we can correct each other if you're a believer through his word, not through your own ways. When I meet with people, there's got to be a verse involved somehow. Or before they come meet me, I'll look for something I can share. Because I don't want me speaking. I want God's spirit speaking as well as here. You need to have God involved. And why did I say it took prayer away from Jephthah? Because we never read that he goes back to God. Look at Judges 11:38. Go, he said, and he sent her off for 2 months. She and her friends went to the mountains and she cried about never being able to get married. At the end of the 2 months, she came back to her father. He did to her what he had vowed, and she never had a husband. So the custom began in Israel. This little girl or young girl went to the mountains for 2 months. This was a tradition the Israelites started with all the young virgin girls. They would go in, after this, they would just go and sing songs to the Lord in memory of her because of what she did, because she wasn't afraid. She went ahead and said, Dad, you know what? I know the vow you took. Do what you have to do to me. It's okay. Isn't that amazing? That's a hero girl there. I know she'll be in God's presence when we get there. It doesn't say her name, but I believe she'll be in heaven because she was courageous to say, I know what you did, Dad, but go ahead, do what you got to do. And for 2 months, and anywhere after this, Jephthah never goes back to God to change the prayer or what he said. When our bargain begins desperate and may go bad, we need to tell God, you know, God, I made this choice. Please help me. Maybe it was a bad choice. Bad decision. You got to tell him. And sometimes God will say no. God will tell you, just trust me. You made the choice, you got to go through it. And think of this. Think of Jephthah, if he had trusted rather than bargained. He would still have his daughter and he would rule Israel. He would have had both, his cake and ice cream, as they say. But he made a bargain, his own bargain, instead of trusting God. God is more impressed with us coming to him than any bargain we can offer him. Avoid making Jephthah's mistake of bargaining and give it to God and trust him. Amen. If whatever you're going through right now, folks, give it to the Lord. Frank, but I can't. Yeah, you can. You're just choosing not to. I didn't want to quit my lifestyle. I like the bars I played at, the music I was playing. People admired me. All that has been squashed by the cross of Christ. I want people to see Jesus in me, not me. I want you to hear my musicianship in the power of God, not mine. Because that talent ain't even mine. Any talent you have, little ones, baseball, football, reading, science, history, it's God's gift to you to use it for him. There's Christian scientists in the world that prove the Bible is real. There's Christian historians that are out there proving landmarks that the Bible is real. Did you know under the Red Sea, they're finding the wheels for all those Egyptians that tried to kill the Israelites in Egypt when the Red Sea was open? They're finding that, Christian historians. You see, God has people, But he wants you to follow him, to be used. Don't make bargains. Trust God. And I'll close with this scripture. Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6 says this. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path smooth. He will make your path smooth, folks. He'll let you walk, even though if you're having problems, you'll be able to move. You'll be able to get up every day and say, God, thank you. It's not looking good right now, but I trust you, and I give it to you. You're going to provide. All this is in your hands, amen? Don't bargain, but trust, amen? Let's stand up. Worship team, come on up. So this morning, I don't know what kind of bargains you've been doing. Maybe at Walmart. They got some good bargains there. But spiritually, folks, it's okay to bargain with God, but be careful. It's okay to make a bargain with the Lord. But you need to be careful what you're saying. To me, especially marriage, is so important to God. And it breaks my heart sometimes to see some of these couples that are hurting. But there's not much I can do as pastors. I love Jerry and Jeremiah because they have taught me something to counsel with people that they don't know. I mean, we can instruct you. People think that counseling helps. It probably doesn't. But it works if you give it 100%. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You